All right. Let's get to our prophecy update. If you're able to stay, we'd certainly encourage you to do so. If you have to leave, no problem. We understand. God bless you. For today's update, I actually had some difficulty because so much is happening so fast. I usually have a pretty good idea of the direction the Lord's leading me by about Friday, but Friday came and went, and I was so kind of overwhelmed with, man, this is happening. I should talk about that. Man, that's happening. I should talk about that. And then I just really sought the Lord, and early Saturday morning, I sensed that He would have me to talk about the prophetic significance of what's being dubbed an historic visit by the Pope to the United Arab Emirates. Did you hear about this or see some of the coverage on this? It wasn't just historic. I would argue it was prophetic. And I say that because it's the first visit by a pope to the Arab Gulf state in history. The Pope called it, quote, a new page in the history of relations between religions. Doesn't that just sound so nice? Oh, the relations between religions. While there, he delivered a homily to an estimated 135,000 in attendance, which included, interesting, over 4,000 Muslims in the capital city of Abu Dhabi. What's interesting is on Monday, and you would be hard-pressed. I had to do quite a bit of research to come up with the text of this and any kind of mention of this. But on Monday, the Pope and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar signed a declaration calling for peace in the presence of a global audience. This global audience in attendance at this signing ceremony included religious leaders from Christianity, better understood as Catholicism, Islam, and Judaism, as well as other faiths. You have to understand that, and you'll forgive the car reference again, but the big three are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And here's how it works in Jerusalem. Friday is Islam. Saturday, Shabbat, is Judaism. And Sunday is Christianity. The big three major religions all worship in Jerusalem today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Listen to this quote from the Pope in regards to this signing. I'm quoting, "If we believers are not able to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray, our faith will be defeated." Close quote. In addition to this signing, the Pope also had a private meeting with Abu Dhabi's Crown Prince, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, who later tweeted, and I quote, "We discussed enhancing cooperation, consolidating dialogue, tolerance, human," listen very carefully to this word, you've seen it before, you've heard it before, we've talked about it before, "coexistence, coexist, and important initiatives to achieve peace, stability, security, peace and security, and development for peoples and societies. Okay. There are some very serious problems with all of this, specifically this quest for the coexistence of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Chief amongst them is that of the coming one world religion that the book of Revelation tells us will come under the reign of the Antichrist during the 7-year tribulation, a one world religion, a one world economy, and a one world government. Perhaps that's a topic for another time. We have, again, talked about that before, but what I really sense the Lord would have me to address today is another very serious problem, and it's that many a Christian has bought into the lie from the father of lies that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. Here's the truth. Christians and Muslims do not and cannot worship the same God. And you might be surprised to know this, but according to the Muslim Quran, they cannot even coexist. Listen to these verses from the Quran. And by the way, let me hasten to say that Islam is a false religion, and Muhammad is a false prophet, and Allah is a false God. Quran chapter 5, verse 54. O believers, take not Jews and Christians as friends. They are friends of each other. Those of you who make them his friends is one of them. God does not guide an unjust people. Quran 47, 4. When you meet the unbelievers, it depends on the translation from the Arabic, but some of the Qurans render it the people of the book, that's the Jews and the Christians. The Jews are the Old Covenant, the Christians the New Covenant, the book, the Bible, the infidel, the unbelievers. Smite their necks, behead them. Then, when you have made wide slaughter among them, tie fast the bonds, then set them free either by grace or ransom until the war lays down its burdens. Quran 5:33. The only reward of those who make war upon Allah and His Messenger and strive after corruption in the land will be that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet on alternate sides cut off or will be expelled out of the land. This is the Quran. And by the way, I just read, painfully so, it gives me no pleasure to read these satanic verses, and that's what they are. But I'm telling you that this is Islam. These three verses in the Quran are three of what one has counted to be over 120 verses that command the true Muslim to kill the Christian and the Jew. Don't take my word for it. Be a Berean. Don't take anybody's word for it. Be a Berean and search the scriptures and see if what I am telling you here today is the truth or not. You'll forgive the bluntness, with which I say this. But either Jesus is who he says he is, or he is the liar of liars. I can't even, it's hard to let those words come from my lips. Listen to the words from the Savior himself, John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? The road is pretty narrow, isn't it? I'm sorry if I'm yelling. I feel better this week. I didn't feel so good last week. I didn't yell. A lot of people said, thank you for not yelling. I said, well, enjoy it while it lasts, because I'm sorry. Jesus did not say that he is a truth, a way, a life. No. The truth. The truth. Here's a question. How can people be so gullible as to believe that the world's religions can coexist? Here's an answer. When one rejects the truth, they will believe the lie. And as such, they'll be condemned and perish against the will of a loving God who does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in his second epistle, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all, listen, unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. Another translation renders it a powerful delusion, deception, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But God in John 3:16-18, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, can I say the truth, but instead has believed the lie, is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The name, the name, the name. Why do I highlight and emphasize that? Because Allah is the name. You know what's really sad? If you got an Arabic Bible and you could read Arabic, the word God is translated Allah. In other words, God, the title, not the name. That's the title. So very subtly, very satanically, it has deceived people into believing that Allah is synonymous with God. When I was growing up as a little boy, my mom innocently used to pronounce what I believe is the Arabic version of the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And God tells Moses to command Aaron to pronounce this blessing upon them. And then he says this, I have put my name upon them. We talked about this, and again, we'll maybe talk about this again yet future. But she would pronounce this blessing of God, and bless her heart, she didn't know any better, but she would say in Arabic, Ism Allah Alik. The name of Allah, she thought was God. The name of God be upon you. It's the highest blessing you can pronounce on anyone. The name of God be upon you. Because the name of God is the nature of God. See? So I changed it. She's with the Lord now. Been many, many years since she went home to be with the Lord. But I changed it to Ism Yeshua Alek. The name of Jesus be upon you. So why do I mention that? Because Allah is not the same as Jehovah. We cannot join hands with someone, embrace someone, even pray with someone who doesn't worship the true and living God. There are those who argue that, well, the Pope is just trying to build bridges. Okay. Build bridges, not walls. Why did I do that? I shouldn't have gone there, sorry. Couldn't help myself. Forgive me. Here's where I'm going with all this. Instead of coexisting with the Muslim, we're to be reaching out to the Muslim with the good news of salvation for the Muslim. What if I told you that Muslims in the Middle East today, by the multitudes, are seeking Jesus and finding Jesus? By the multitudes! You know, I'm sorry. I don't say this to shame us. If I do, maybe it's a sanctified shaming, and I include myself in that sanctified shaming, but they'll put us to shame, their worship services. I mean, when you see I realize that we're not likely to hear about this on our news feeds. But the truth of the matter is, Muslims are coming out of Islam and they're coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. On Monday, I read a most interesting article published in the Christian Post about Syrian Muslims who are finding Jesus after witnessing the brutality of Islamic groups like ISIS, Syria. You know, this is the thing, when we talk about the prophetic significance of Syria in Isaiah 17, I think one of the things that's lost is that these are people, man. These are fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and uncles and aunties. And these are people. These are my people. I tell you, you've never been so humbled as to watch a former Muslim worship the Lord. I was thinking in Isaiah 19, another prophecy, not about Syria, but about Egypt. God calls the Egyptians, who, by the way, come to Christ. In the end, he calls the Egyptians my people. The Egyptians. God loves the Muslim. Jesus died for the Syrian, for the Egyptian, for the Arab people. He loves the Arab people. So in this story, published in the Christian Post, they talk about a guy by the name of Farhad Jassim. He's 23 years old. He works as a mechanic, and he converted to Christianity late last year. He was jailed by ISIS for 6 months in early 2016 after the militants discovered he didn't know the basics of Islam. During his time in captivity, he was tortured and forced to read the Quran. He said, listen to this, "It didn't take me long to discover that Christianity was the religion I was searching for. I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. Their God is not my God." It's testimonies like this from Farhad Jassim and the multitudes like him that are one of the main reasons we do these updates and end with the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. By the way, in the book of Acts, we're told that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. By the way, this will be one of the last by the ways. I know I've got a lot of by the ways here. I found online the text of the agreement that was signed by the Pope calling for peace. And it was kind of a tough read, but I did a search. And I searched the name Jesus in that document. And not one time did I find the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, mentioned even one time. Have you ever noticed? I'm going to just indulge me for just a moment, but I've got to share this. Have you ever noticed how it is that nobody ever takes the name of Allah or Muhammad in vain? When was the last time you saw somebody stub their toe or, you know, bang their thumb with a hammer and go, "Oh, Buddha!" No. I'm sorry. Could you imagine? "Oh, Muhammad!" No. It's always the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. That's why. That's why. The next time I used to be, well, I used to be a lot of things. God's so gracious, isn't he? But I used to be kind of militant when somebody would take the name of my Jesus in vain like that, and I would go Palestinian on them. It never worked. But one day I asked someone who had taken the name of my Jesus in vain. I said, why do you take Jesus' name in vain? Why don't you be an equal opportunity blasphemer and take Buddha and Muhammad? Let's be all inclusive. Let's kind of coexist in this whole deal while we're at it, right? They never used Jesus' name again, in my presence at least. Got them thinking. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came, he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and he's coming back one day. Good news. Your debt has been paid in full. You're free to go. Good news. That's what the word gospel means. What debt? Oh, you didn't know? Yeah. Oh, maybe you need to know the bad news first. Don't you hate it when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I got good news and I got bad news. What do you want to hear first? To which I like to respond, get thee behind me, Satan. I do not want any bad news. I'll take the good news. But no, sometimes we need the bad news first, because the badder the bad news is, the gooder the good news will be. I know that's not proper English. Please don't email me. The bad news is we've all been sentenced to death for all eternity because of our sin. That's the bad news. And the good news is that Jesus paid yours and my death penalty in our stead with his blood shed. That's the good news. It's also why we do the ABCs of salvation at the end of our updates, not to insult anyone's intelligence, rather to provide a simple, childlike explanation of how to be saved. I know for me, 37 years ago now, it had to be simple. If it were complicated, I wonder whether I would have come to Christ or not. First of all, I, because of my lifestyle, had damaged a lot of my brain from all the drugs and the drinking and the partying. When I got saved, my brain was so damaged, I could not understand. I could not form an intelligible sentence. That's how brain damaged I was. In fact, when I went out and bought a Bible, I could not, no way, understand the King James. So I bought a Good News Bible that had a limited vocabulary in plain English. And even that was a stretch for me and a challenge for me. Those are some big words, you know, in there. It has to be simple. It has to be easy. Before I do the ABCs and we'll bring it to a close, and I appreciate your patience, I want to share with you an email that I received from an online member in South Africa by the name of Lizelle. She says, I am an art teacher and work with kids from the age of 11 to 18. My husband and I belong to the Gideons, and we have been serving for 14 years. I love the ABCs of salvation and started to use it. On Friday, we had a terrible tragedy in our area. I don't know if you heard about this. The bridge or walkway at a local high school collapsed and fell on some kids. Four of them lost their lives. They were stuck under a big piece of concrete. When I heard the news, I cried like a baby. I know so many children in that school. We also did not get the opportunity to bring Bibles to those kids. I prayed. We all prayed. But then I realized again how short life is, and that now, more than ever, is a time to take action. Today, Monday, which was this last Monday, the 4th, we went to another school, and for the first time, I shared the ABCs of salvation to the entire group. Thank you for the simple ABCs. We still have to go to the school where the tragedy happened. Please pray with us. Please also pray for the children and parents of that school. As many as 30 kids were injured, and about 18 of them are still critical. This is in South Africa. Please pray as the Lord puts that on your heart. What are the ABCs of salvation? The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned against God and that you need the Savior. Romans 3:10 says that there is no one righteous, not even one. You know, the common answer you get when you ask somebody or try to share the gospel with somebody, the common response is, well, I'm a good person. And you can say to them when they respond like that, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're a good person and you have a good heart, but you can never be good enough. There is no one that is righteous meeting that perfect standard of God's righteousness. We were all born sinners, which is why we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As we talked about the last couple of weeks, this is actually an archery term. So the archer would shoot the arrow at the bullseye, and if they missed the bullseye, they fell short, they sinned. They fell short. That's what the word sin actually means. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all missed the mark of God's perfect standard. Romans 6:23, I love this verse because it packages the aforementioned bad news first, then offers the good news. The bad news? The wages of sin is death. That's the death penalty. That's the bad news. And that is bad news. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, where you earn it, lest you boast about it. I heard someone humorously quip that if we could get to heaven by earning our way there, and it wouldn't be heaven anymore, because could you imagine, you're up there, hey, you know what I did to get here? Well, yeah, that's nothing. You know what I did? That's the other place, I think, that they will go to, not heaven. No one's going to boast. Nobody's going to be able to say, this is what I did. It's not anything I do. It's what he's already done. I owed a debt I could not pay, as we sing. He paid a debt he did not owe, and that is the good news. Now, think about this as a gift. You don't pay for a gift, right? If you have to pay for it, then it's no longer a gift. And what do we know to be true about gifts? Again, I hope this is not an oversimplification. I do not intend in any way to insult anybody's intelligence, but a gift is given and a gift is received. But somebody had to pay for that gift, right? Jesus paid for that in full. And it cost him everything. And he offers this gift of eternal life. Free! Oh, come on, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I don't know about a free lunch, but there is such a thing as the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the A. Here's the B. The B is for believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, listen to the specificity of this, you will be saved. Not shall even. Shall is not definite, will is. You know, in covenants, the parties shall? No. The jury's out on whether or not the parties shall, because if they do not, then they break the covenant. No, it's not shall, it's will. its will. And lastly, the C is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And lastly, I like to see this as, this is how you seal the deal. This is what you do to seal the deal. And I want you to notice this word again, all. All have sinned? Yeah. But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. One last thing. If you're here today, and I make no assumptions, I only see the outward appearance. God sees the heart. God knows every heart of everyone. And by the way, the outward appearance that I see, you all look marvelous, just so you know. But God sees your heart, and God knows your heart. If you have never called upon the name of the Lord, I am pleading with you to not put off the most important decision in your life for eternal life. Give me one more second here. You might be watching online from somewhere in the Middle East. I know we have a lot of views from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia and Syria even, Iraq, Egypt, Jordan, Israel even. And maybe you're a Muslim, and what you heard today really made sense, and God really spoke to your heart. I would implore you and encourage you, even plead with you, to call upon the name of Jesus, Jesus, believing in your heart, acknowledging your sin, trusting in him to be saved. Why don't you all stand? Thank you again for your patience. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how could we ever thank you enough for the free gift of eternal life, for the good news of salvation, and that your return draws ever so near. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be here or watching this somewhere that has never called upon you or is unsure of where they stand with you, that today, now, it would be settled. Lord, maybe for somebody that has wandered, backslid, got caught up in the cares and the affairs of this life, as seductive as they are, Lord, I pray that today would be that day. That you would fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit, baptize them anew as they draw near to you, that you would draw near to them, and that they would never look back. Surely only you satiate that hunger and thirst that we have, Lord. for anyone who might be discouraged and just battle weary, just really going through some stuff, man. You know all about it. Would you just encourage and strengthen their hearts? Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.